Okay, if you can kneel, let's pray again for those that are joining us now, or with those that are joining us. Right. Heavenly Father, thank you again for blessing us with your presence as we were doing the study. And thank you for your word that makes things so crystal clear as to what it is you would have us do. And thank you for blessing us with opportunities to do it. Thank you also for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain, and revealing your mercy to us and your patience and your long-suffering towards us. Thank you so much for that, Father, and teaching us how to be the same way. Please bless us with your continued presence as we go into the Word once again. And thank you, Father, for your Word, and blessing everyone that's doing the work all around the world with a strong hedge of angels. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. As expected, this is warning number 5 from the book of Malachi. I've got one more, but then I think the Lord's going to have me finish all the way up to chapter 4 because of the way this message was given. And until he closes the door on it, I'm going to keep going on it. And he actually gave me another one this morning or last night, I can't remember, in regards to what's about to happen in the USA because of their sin. I mean, if you just go back in time and see what happened, like say in Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar stepped up because of their sin. So Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 to 17. And the notes, here, let me put the notes in the stream for everybody that wants to read along with the Bible verses here. Copy. And let me also put the notes in, they're in there. Oh, that's warning number 5. All right, warning number 4. The wrong one's in there. Hold on, let me just change the date on this because it's already on the server, so I just got to change the date and hit apply. There. All right, and so the notes are in the stream if you want to read along. And, thank you. SDR Asia put the link in the stream too. So, and for those listening on the radio, it's remnantofgod.org/CSP. And then forward slash again in today's date. That would be 051620.htm. And that's any, like, you know, like, because a lot of people go to the sermon page on Remnant of God and they want to read along with the notes and says, yeah, well, just do this. I actually have a little graphic that shows how to do it. You just click it and I have these 3 or 4 screenshots that I did. And it says, yeah, just change the date here at the end of the URL. In other words, you're actually going to program your own URL. Put it into your browser, and bam, there's the notes. So that'll work. Okay, so Malachi. We're creeping up on Matthew, aren't we? So Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 to 17. I'm just going to read the first few, maybe 7 verses here, because I got a feeling I'm going to stop in verse 7 here. And it says, this is what it says, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. And it's not like, you know, shaking in his boots. Well, yeah, you could, you know, like Belteshazzar, that, you know, where his knees were knocking when he saw many, many tekelim parsin on the wall on Daniel's day. This is like a reverent fear. We acknowledge him as creator. And it's defined differently today because of the way Satan works. He likes to redefine words to make it more and more difficult to understand God's word. It's just silly. But the sad part of that is a lot of people will preach their sermons based, you know, they'll use scriptures and the words in those scriptures based on today's definition of the words, and which makes no sense. I'll take, for example, the word gay. If you see it in the Bible, which I don't think is in the Bible, it's not a bad word. It means happy and giddy. When I was growing up, that's what it meant. But today it doesn't mean that anymore. Anyway, verse 6 and 7 says, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So let me stop here for a minute. What I just read sounds very familiar to those of us that know the history of the apostate churches, all of them. Yes, this speaks of Levi and how he and his tribe were chosen to do the work of the Lord in the sanctuary of old, you know, the Levites. You know, they had special duties because they had a special walk. I mean, they were afraid before his name, right? Well, Levi was, you know, obviously. And so, when the ninth hour commenced, wherein the sanctuary was finally understood by Christians to be in heaven, you know, and these people were very true to the Lord. They were in the ninth hour movement, and so they were just like Levi. They were walking the way they should. But then, as we have seen so often before in the history of God's people, from Genesis to Revelation, well, Genesis to, you know, Jude, they fell off the path. And so, Genesis to Revelation, because Jesus walks around, you know, between the candlesticks there and starts talking about stuff. So, but they fell off the path, and so what is described next regarding how the Jews fell off the path so as to embrace apostasy? Those of us in the Seventh-day Remnant Church that used to be Seventh-day Adventists know why they left the Ninth Hour or Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's the Ninth Hour Church. They know why they left it, to join hands with those of us that are prophesied to not only form the remnant of her seed, no matter what people in other churches claim to be the remnant. No, it's not how Revelation 12:17 defines it. You've got a woman, the original church of the ninth hour, and then you've got a remnant of her seed. You can't be the woman and the remnant at the same time. But we are prophesied to finish this work, as you also see in Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7. I got a page all just about that parable, prophetic parable of Christ. And so we're prophesied to finish the work. And that is only possible in the 11th hour. There is no 12th hour. I mean, seriously, try and preach as we preach in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or any other church for that matter. They're going to kick you to the curb. They're going to ask you to leave. Many in the Seventh-day Remnant Church were disfellowshipped for preaching present truth, especially if they exposed the Trinity or Allah or homosexuality in the churches that they were in, be they SDA or not. They were asked to leave. And notice what was declared from the Lord's prophet thousands of years ago. When you hear and when you hear this, those new to the truth in our number and those riding the fence may finally gain the validation they needed that confirms you made the right choice to come out of her, because he called you my people. So you came out of her, just as prophecy said, every person that loves the Lord will do in the last days, be they Catholic or any Protestant denomination, including the SDA Church. If you are honest and have a desire to hear the truth as it is written, then all I can say is, hear ye what the Lord has said in his word about the churches you have left or on the verge of leaving as we speak, let's say. Praise his name. Look at verses 8 and 9 in Malachi chapter 2. It says, but ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Remember what I said earlier in the study? There's no gray areas in Christianity. There's no gray areas in the law. It's either you keep it or you don't. Either you hate or you love. I need not speak about the Catholic Church in this, as she is the mother of harlots, or even the apostate churches, as we call them today. We know, due to the man of sin being revealed in our day, that 86.2% of her doctrine, Roman doctrine, is in fact pagan dogma. And they even admit it as such in bold writings declaring that paganism was baptized into the church. That's their words, not mine. And I don't want to read the quotes. I'm sick of reading these quotes, to be honest with you. And so I'm not going to do that again here today, because I grow tired of reading the harlot's blasphemous words. It just sickens my heart. But for the babes new to this truth, I think I have it on, yeah, Words of a Beast on Paganism. If you got the notes, if you got the address, you're on the web page, you slide down, go to link number one. That'll bring you to the words of paganism in the Catholic Church, where they admit the Catholic Church is paganism in nature. They admit it in writing in more than a few ways. But as I read, as I just read verses 8 and 9 of this chapter, do you not see how the churches we left have caused many to stumble at the law of our God? That's why we left. I mean, everything from spiritual adultery to downright spiritual murder is the norm in how they declare bloodthirsty false gods like Allah to be the God of the Bible. Dwight Nelson, 3ABN contacted me and asked me to pull the video because I exposed Dwight Nelson when he said Allah was God in their Christmas mass in that Seventh-day Adventist church at Long. What was it? It was on 3ABN. I can't remember the name of the church that he was doing this in. They asked me to pull the video. I says, I'll pull the video the split second you go on camera and recant. Tell Nelson to get up there or either have him step down and recant. And I'm not saying recant in the way Rome does. Tell the truth. Allah is not God. Even the Muslims are saying, quit saying it. I mean, come on. They're killing our people. How can their God be our God if their God's telling them to kill our people? But they don't want to hear that. As a matter of fact, somebody just sent me a link the other day. Yeah. Now, you remember, because they allowed a bunch of the Muslims to come out and have their fun on Ramadan last month, right? And they killed a bunch of people, even during the coronavirus thing, because we all know it's fake. And so it's just a dry run so that they can force the mark. They got to get all their little ducks in a row. We know this, and so it doesn't bother us. We know we're ready. You know, have at it, because prophecy is going to be fulfilled. But they let the Muslims out to have the Ramadan thing. Killed a bunch of people. And just last week, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, remind me after church and I'll even put the article in the stream of how they're glorifying the Muslims and their period of Ramadan in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Unbelievable. And so everything from spiritual adultery to spiritual murder is the norm now. And that's why they embrace these bloodthirsty gods like Allah. They declare those that soil the image of the Creator in their animalistic and homosexual lifestyles are sanctioned, sanctified, and blessed of God. And they celebrate all of the pagan holidays, or holy days. We call them holidays today, but they call them holy days. And these holy days of the pagans, you know, claiming it is from the great God of heaven, who never changes, declared long ago, this is a surefire way to gain death by damnation. I mean, look at Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 to 32. Is it on the screen here? Oh, wow, I forgot to put... Oh, there it is. Wow. And there's a reason I highlighted the last verse, but check it out. It says, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them. You remember when they were going around and just getting all sorts of promised land. And thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. After that they be destroyed from before thee. And that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, well, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. You know, Molech and Chemosh. And then I did a video about a year ago where the Vatican put a big statue of Chemosh. Or was that Chemosh or was that the other guy? Anyway, right there in front of the Roman Colosseum. They're the ones that have the authority to put it there because they own it. Anyway, finishing, it says, whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Have not the pioneers stepped out of apostate churches that were cut off from the Lord to form the Ninth Hour Church, you know, back in the 1800s? And as prophesied, have they not embraced every sin known to man as the norm today? So much so that is also prophesied. Any Protestant denomination listed today, all are seen as contemptible as and base before all the people of God. This is why we in the Seventh-day Remnant Church prayed and the Lord gave us a name, Seventh-day Remnant. We can't keep saying, oh, we kind of like the SDAs, you know, we're kind of like them, but we don't do this, we don't. You know, it took forever to explain to people who we were. And we didn't want to be associated with the Seventh-day Adventist name because they're contemptible and base right now before all the people of God. Saying you're SDA today means you agree with homosexuality, have no problem with the creating image of the beast with the 501c3, Allah is God, and all sorts of other disgusting things too, and even embracing Halloween with their shows. They do these costume parties. That's what I was looking for, costume parties. I got pictures on SDAapostasy.org where they have, you know, tattooing and everything. It's just amazing. And so to call yourself SDA today, we couldn't do it. Even though our statement of faith is an exact duplicate to the original SDA statement of faith. And they say that we started to do new denominations. No, we did not. We just have a different name because to use the name, you're going to sue us. And secondly, we can't use the name because you changed your statement of faith. You changed and created a brand new denomination but kept the old name. We kept the denomination but dumped the name because that makes us look bad. And you'll sue us. And so, no, we do not go about slamming them as they do, as do some that hate all Christians. Instead, we approach them one-on-one in the hopes of leading them to safety. But as our Lord, his apostles, the patriarchs, the prophets, and even John the Baptist, we will go forth and expose the wolves that are standing on the pulpits so as to help warn God's people. It's like many Catholics approach me over the years and says, you know, they don't much care for my message, but they do appreciate the way that I don't get in their face about it. I says, yeah, you're just being loyal to your leaders. You have no idea of what is happening here. You're trusting them and you're showing loyalty, which is it's a good fruit. But, man, come on, open up your Bibles. Same thing with the SDAs. I do the exact same thing. You know, I says, I ain't got a problem with you people. I got a problem with your leaders. And now, for those that left the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they know just saying they are SDA actually associates them with apostasy. That is much worse than that of the Jews of 2,000 years ago. Much worse. Much, much worse. We've seen all sorts of God's people forming churches outside the church because they have no recourse but to do so, for they know what the Word of our God says about yoking unequally. I mean, just using the names of any so-called Protestant denomination today identifies that person with Rome. For all the world has wandered after the beast now, and this is why all of them embrace Christmas, Easter, birthday celebrations, you know, that were invented for Pharaoh, and even the hardcore paganism of Rome with the Day of the Sun, wherein they openly worship Baal, to the east, no less. And when the Lord says, and yes, they have Easter sunrise, you know, services in the Seventh-day Adventist Church too. People thought, no, only the Catholics do that. Well, nope, all the Protestants do it now. All of them, including the SDAs. Easter sunrise service. Because that's what it's about. That's why the date for Easter changes every year. It's all about the sun, moon, and the stars. First full moon of spring, the following Sunday, is Easter. Ask a pagan or ask a Catholic priest. They'll both define it in the exact same way. And so, when the Lord said that they have been partial in the law, look around, and you will see all of them declaring they keep 9 of the 10 commandments as the norm. Ask them, and they will say, no, don't kill me, don't kill my wife, don't kill my children. No, don't steal from me, don't lie to me, or don't covet, you know, just to name a few. Yet when it comes to keeping God's Sabbath, taking the Lord's name in vain, or as the Catholics, who sin by worshiping statues and have hundreds of gods, you know, one God for each day of the week, all of them are partial in how they keep the law. This happened in Malachi's day, and as he prophesied, this is happening in our day. This is why the Lord, you know, asked me to share this. I mean, moving on, we see the prophet saying in the next verse, in verse 10, Malachi 2, verse 10. Let me see. Well, no, you guys probably have it on your screens. But have we, he says, Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Yet when you ask them of these sinful acts, you know, like the endorsing Ramadan or Easter or Christmas or Sunday Sabbath or Allah or homosexuality, when you ask them of these sinful acts, they either walk away in silence or just plain lash out at you in hatred. It most assuredly is the end of days when we see those who claim to be pastors, preachers, and teachers standing at the desk dressed as Christians, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves seeking who they can take advantage of. For was it not also warned and even prophesied that this too would be how the churches operate today? Did not Jesus remove the money changers from the temple? Yeah. And since he ascended back to heaven, all of them have crept, all the money changers, they have crept right back in just as expected. But the only difference is Jesus didn't die for all eternity, you know. See, if you ever noticed that, like when churches, like reformations, if you will, like when Martin Luther died, everything kind of calmed down, and then bam, you had to come up with the ninth hour, because as soon as the leaders in certain denominations die off, yeah, the people, they just go, you know. So as soon as Jesus ascended into heaven, yeah, the money changers ran right back in. You know, you can see the spirit of that in Ananias and Sapphira, in fact. But notice what Jesus did and then what Peter prophesied later on. John chapter 2. Let me scroll up a little bit for you there on the stream. John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17 says, "And when he had made a scourge of small cords, like a little whip, he drove them out of the temple." And you got to know, he didn't hit any people. He was just swinging it wildly to get them out of there. And he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, "Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Right? Now, check out what Peter says. He says this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And this is happening right now in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Catholic Church, Baptist Church, Lutheran Church, all the churches. It's happening in all of the churches, especially Pentecostal or prosperity preachers. Right? Well, Pentecostals have already declared a few, like 6 months ago, maybe five, that they are now considering themselves Roman Catholic on camera in front of the Pope because the protest is over. They took one point out of the 95 thesis and said, okay, protest is over, and ignored the other 94. That's churchianity. That's exactly how churchianity is today. That's why we don't have any part in that, falderall. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Let me scroll up a little more so that I can keep it. Oop, that went too far. What is it with this thing? How come it doesn't want to scroll nice? Oh, wow, that moves the whole thing. All right, never mind, you can still see it. So 2 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies." You know, stuff like Allah is God, homosexuality is sanctioned. "Damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them." And an easy way to do that is say, Allah is God, right? "And bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." In other words, what I'm telling you right now, the absolute truth, gets their blood up, gets them angry at me. Not that, well, some of the SDA people do, because they only echo pastors. They don't read Bibles. Some of them. I do know many that do read Bibles. They're on the fence. They're about to leave the SDA church because they know what they're looking at. I mean, they're my people, as he says in Revelation 18:4. And so, but check it out. "By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." So when we say Allah is not God, they say, oh, that's evil. You shouldn't say that. When we say homosexuality is an abomination, it's like the Bible says, oh, no. That's you're evil. They'll call us evil. Verse 3. And through covetousness, check this out, because this is what's happening right now. And through covetousness, because they love their silk-lined pockets packed with cash, right? So through covetousness, you know, breaking commandment number 10, desiring what you got in your pocket, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not. In other words, they're about to get it. There's a death knell falling upon the SDA churches and all the churches now. And it says, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, it's not over. It's going to happen. It's not. It's damnation is not a myth. It's going to happen. It doesn't slumber. And it's not far off now. I mean, come on, they're talking about a one world government by 2030. 9.5 years. So, many in the 11th hour, Seventh-day Remnant Church know, when they approached their pastors in the Seventh-day Adventist Church about the apostasy, they were kicked out of the church. The truth we present is now evil spoken of, as Peter said. That is why the Seventh-day Adventists that come into our online church services attack us for the truth we present, because like I said earlier, they don't read Bibles, they echo pastors. So, and now, how do they make merchandise of the people though? Because Peter said that they're going to do that. They're going to make merchandise of you. Well, you remember what I said earlier about Jesus going through the temple and getting all those money changers out of there and saying, turning his house, his father's house, into a house of merchandise? Those of us that left these churches know how they ask on a regular basis for donations every chance they get. The Seventh-day Remnant people, pastors, deacons, elders, whoever, we've never once, ever will, ask for donations. It just doesn't happen. We pray and ask the Lord. I mean, look at the early synagogues. They didn't even ask for donations. They had those big bins out there, and then people would, put the money in. Remember how Jesus talked about the little old lady that put in the 2 mites? Yeah, it was all done outside. But, you know, some of the people, yeah, because they are all about self, they would, instead of dumping a bunch of coins in there all at once, you got some of the people, I would imagine, they're dropping the coins in one at a time so everybody can hear how long it takes for him to put his donation in, because he's all that. Or like I remember when I was a kid and they started, even in the Catholic Church this was a problem, they started demanding that the people put their donations in little envelopes and write on the envelope their name, because sometimes they would put cash in there, because people were making it obvious. They were passing the plate in the church service. And it took forever, because some people are going to pull out a stack of hundreds and start dropping in so everybody can see, and then you get this person next to them dropping in a few coins because they're poor. It's not good to be doing that. But they ask for donations every chance they get. They pass the plate. And we don't even do that. Because we do have brick-and-mortar churches. We don't even pass the plate there. No, you're supposed to give. You're supposed to tithe and give love offerings. We pray. Ask the Lord. We need help here. We need help there. He's the one that takes care of that for us. We don't have to ask people. Because if you ask mankind, yeah, you can sit there, your hand will get dusty waiting on money. Anyway, so. But they also sell tickets to Christmas and Easter plays because they have no other recourse. They can't get people into the churches because the Lord's just not sending them there. So they have these plays and these fight nights and these beer nights or bingo nights to get people in. And they charge admission. And some even sell, I remember some tickets are being sold at Catholic Lenten season gatherings, their celebrations. You know what they used to call, why the Catholic Church calls the Mass a celebration? It's a celebration in death. That's right. They even acknowledge it in their catechism, St. Joseph's General Edition. It's a celebration of the death of Christ. I know it seems a little morbid, and you might think, oh, they mean it in a good way. Really? The Inquisition, whenever they burned somebody at the stake, what did they call that? They called it a celebration, didn't they? Don't believe me? Read the Book of Martyrs. Anyway, they do all this. They have bingo, gambling nights with admission charge at the door. And then after the sermon, the preacher sells the sermons to the people as they try to leave the church. I used to recall stacks of cassette tapes on tables as we left the churches decades ago. And today, I'm sure they're either CDs or downloadable MP3s now for a price. But they all forgot the command of Christ when he said in Matthew 10, verses 7 and 9, or 7:29, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. But yet, some of these preachers sell books. Their books. They sell their books for a profit. You know, they don't just sell, you know, like V. Bates does, you know, because she can't afford to print up a bunch of books and just hand them out for free. No, because she's not in ministry. She doesn't have, never asked for donations like us. No, what it costs to print is that what they, you know, please give her the money to print the book and she'll give you the book for free. And but preachers say, oh, it's an absolute, you need to read this book. This will help you get ready for the return of Christ for $19.95. Well, if it's that important, why are you charging people for it? They're selling it. It's just like what T.D. Jakes says. Jesus Christ is the product, and he's his salesman. And he says this on camera. It's amazing. Nary a preacher will speak today without charging a fee. Selling a book, they say that you must have to be ready for Christ, or entices people to tithe and get a tax-deductible donation, which means now you just nullified your tithe because your tithe now gave you an increase. Is this no different than the money changers in the temple of the Lord? The temple of the Lord? The temple of the Lord? And yeah, there's a reason Jeremiah repeated that three times when he was rebuking the king. It's because you get a temple for each person in the Godhead. Or holy, holy, holy is his name in Revelation. But because these people have zeal and the devil knows it, he gets them off path of getting them to preach something else. Now, as I read on in Malachi, it was a blessing to behold. And you tell me if this, what I'm about to read, it doesn't sound familiar. I mean, as it should for everyone that's ever left a fallen church or have seen one from the outside. And I'm not saying that we're perfect yet, because we can be. I mean, we will soon, in fact, if we stay in the Word daily and pray, and often as those who were perfect in the past, because, you know, being the people that love the Lord, who said in Matthew 5, verse 48, be ye perfect, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. We know Jesus would never lie to us. He said it, we believe it. Well, then that settles it. And so, that all being said, let me read on in Malachi, wherein he is moved by the Lord himself to describe and even put the people in their place. Because when the Lord describes the people, he does so with absolute perfection. There's no, you know, gilding the lily here, if you will. All right. Let me see here. And so again, just banged into my keyboard there. But before reading here, what they did back then to move the Lord to declare this unto them, they do so in our day right now. All of them do it. Each and every single solitary one of these 501c3 money-worshipping government pawns on the pulpits of the churches that have done exactly as the prophecy said they would do, they have created an image unto the beast in Rome, and they now tithe to Rome. And this includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Scroll down to the bottom of the notes, and link number 2 is a video I made called Seventh-day Adventist Church Sends Tithes to the Pope. And I've got documentation in their letterhead of them doing so. They now stand exposed as base elements before every child of the living God that has eyes to see. For it is written as plain as day in Malachi chapter 2 again, but now verses 11 to 17. Well, maybe I'll just read one. I'm going to read them all, but I might interrupt. It says, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. Whoa, that's powerful. I mean, the Seventh-day Adventist Church and all the churches have married outside the faith and then corrupted the faith of all the people in Judah, just as they are doing by committing spiritual adultery when they joined hands with the Roman harlot and even give God's money to that harlot. Verse 12. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. In other words, until they repent, and we all pray that they do, this, you know, please pray for them. But until they repent, they can cry out to the Lord till they're literally blue in the face. They're never going to get him to respond while they're in open sin. I mean, the definition of apostasy is crystal clear. And this is why they rewrote the Spirit of Prophecy books, which prophesied that church would fall and become a sister to Babylon. All those statements have been removed. Just like with the NIVs and the NESVs, all those statements have been removed that expose Rome. But that's how he works. I mean, you know, but praise the Lord, this is also how our Father works. He's not going to, answer their prayers, even if they're bawling their eyes out, if they're still in open sin. I mean, you got to repent first, you know. This is a God that never changes. And he gave us all 66 books that outline his will in great detail, so we don't have to be making any mistakes. You know. Verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? In other words, well, they're innocent, you know. But he says, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. You know, Adam was only given one wife. Anything outside the norm is not of God. And this is why we were told by the, you know, it was revealed unto us to go forth and declare that they're going to do everything they can to normalize homosexuality so as to bring on next polygamy and so as to bring on whatever else they need to normalize pedophilia. And now polygamy has been legalized. There's no federal authority against it at all now in Utah. Just the other day it came down as absolute. But this also includes unbiblical divorce, wherein many in all the churches have married many wives. You know, they think they've only got one wife at a time. They say, look, if that woman didn't commit adultery and you didn't send her on her way for that, you got two wives right now. And according to the eyes of God. And so no matter what the laws of mankind says, you know, you get two wives. And now that polygamy is legalized as of February, it won't be long before it's legalized everywhere, not just Utah. I mean, just as they passed homosexual marriage in one state, it didn't take long to go nationwide, did it? And all the churches, including the SDA Church, sanctified it before God as if he approves. And we got them on video saying it, too. And so, on top of physical adultery, they sin twice by committing spiritual adultery. They have denied the wife of their youth to marry the harlot in Rome, their mistress. Verse 16. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. I mean, he doesn't want to do it, but you leave him no choice. And going on, it says, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. You know, in other words, the Jews try to hide their sinful ways, you know, how they dealt with their wives by claiming their twisted theology allowed for it, or even the Corbin thing where they say, oh, I ain't got to give any money to my mom and dad when they get up in years. Yeah, I'll just give it to the church. And Jesus put them the task on that too. But the churches do the same thing today with how they kick obedient Christians to the curb the split second they try to warn the pastor about the open apostasy in the church. They tried to hide their violence with their garments, claiming to be just, holy, and ordained of God. You know, like the Pharisees of old, where they were outed as full of dead men's bones. You know, when Jesus said what he did in Matthew 23:27, which was, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres," graves, for those of you who don't know, tombs, more like, "which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." We have eyes to see, brothers and sisters, that covering their sins with their so-called holy garments is only fooling the blind souls that they lead. And so be it. If the leaders or even those that follow them refuse to study their Bibles, then both shall fall into the pit, and it's their own fault. And so finishing with verse 17 in Malachi chapter 2, we see that ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? You know, that is an exact description of the harlot church and her sinful daughters who claim to be the bride of Christ the world over. It's what I call Jerry Springer theology. And the why I say it like that is, when the Jerry Springer show came out, he used to be a politician, so he knew what he was doing. You know, corrupt the American people, you know, like the elite did in the beginning. They couldn't figure out how to attack the American people because they were Christians. And the only way they figured out how to get the Christian people down and how to be able to at least have some leeway over them to control them better, they figured the only way to do it is to get them away from their God. And so they invented Hollywood and Disney. You know, for and it's just been downhill ever since. And then, of course, the sports and everything like that. But it's gotten so much worse today, because now it's just expected to be easily done, because Satan knows he's got them all in his charred trophy case. I mean, they declare Allah as God. They claim what the Lord openly declares to be an abomination in his word, you know, homosexuality, to be sanctioned and accepted as an alternative homosexual lifestyle by the Lord who created them as men and women. I actually saw a preacher say that homosexuality was a gift of God on camera in a talk show. All of these wolves claiming to be men of God have said over and over again that everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, just like Malachi said they would, and are doing it today all over the place. And they're sanctioning, they're doing this with their sin-sanctioning sermons, and they're turning a blind eye to their own flock that reveals their true fruit, and their own flock is, you know, it's just like when you walk with the Lord and you have the law of God written on your heart, when your pastor is corrupt, the people that trust him more than they do the Bible, because that's the way it is today with the, you know, apostate churches. The only reason people are sitting in those churches is because they're not studying their Bible. I mean, if they studied their Bible, they know you're not supposed to be in there. And so when you look at the corrupted pastor, you got to know the people in his church are going to revel in sin, because they got permission to do so. He's sanctified it. And this is why they're going to rip him to shreds right before the eastern sky splits. Granted, most of them will already be dead by the time Plague 4 gets here, but, you know, there's going to be some alive, because, you know, there's a reason they hollowed out those caves. We know what the prophecy says about them going into the mountains to, you know, let them fall on them and hide them from the face of the Lamb and he who sits on the throne. But it's not going to work, of course, but, you know, the caves were already set up. They even got bunkers. Billionaires have, you know, been building homes underneath their homes. Everything, perhaps, it's that accurate. And so they're turning a blind eye to their own flock that revels in sin. They don't even warn the flock that what they're doing is wrong. For they know if they speak the truth to their flock, as they're ordained to do, by the way, they're going to lose their cash that they keep asking for. See, that's another reason we don't ask. Some people say, "Oh, I'm going to stop sending donations to you if you don't preach at this." Well, I never asked you for money in the first place. I actually had a guy do that years ago. And that was after I found out he was a billionaire. I did not know he was a billionaire before, because judging by his donations, you never would have known it. But I guess he donated, or still does, donate to a lot of different people. And then when I found out he was a billionaire, he started trying to push this theology about Jesus not being God, Holy Spirit not existing. He says, well, if you don't preach it, because he asked me to read the book and critique it and make sure it was legit. He asked me and another preacher. I got it done in a week, and the other guy did it in 2 weeks and proved to him, no, this is blasphemy. He says, no, you guys misunderstood. I didn't want you to correct it. I want you to embrace it. I said, well, that just ain't happening. Well, then I'm not going to send you any more money. I says, look, never asked you for the money in the first place. So it's not a reason not to ask for money. It's not going to make you move. It's not going to get like you got big, you know, people with fat pockets in the front pew. And that's another thing. You know, 99.9% of this church family is home churches. So I don't even know if anybody's got money. So there's no temptation. So praise his name. These apostate ministers who worship money have claimed on camera that embracing certain sins cultivate the light in the eyes of the great God of heaven. They even claim that God makes some homosexual and he's pleased with their lives. I saw a video, like I was saying earlier, the guy actually said that on a New Age TV show run by an anti-Christian woman named Oprah. That's right, it was on the Oprah show. Somebody sent me a clip on it. And when they sin openly without fear of damnation, they always race forward to calm those in their church that may think to repent of their sins with twisted scripture and doctrines of demons so as to lure them back into apostasy, shouting, why bother with repentance? For where is the God of judgment? Like Malachi just said. Seriously, like the guy that was standing at the end of that boat that day when I was a teenager, you know, during a thunderstorm, saying, if there's a God in heaven, let him strike me dead. And I said, dude, I'm going to knock you into the water if you don't shut up, because I know there's a God in heaven and you're only 3 or 4 feet away from me. You know, he says, if you're going to get zapped, I may get it too. But that's the mercy of our God. He didn't zap that young man. Hopefully, later on in life, he did embrace Christ as Lord. But let me close with this. These men down the pulpits, these apostate leaders, these wolves, may think they're safe now because the great God of heaven doesn't send a bolt of lightning to the moment that they commit a sin. But very soon, they and those that trust them will experience his judgment in an abject horror that can't even be explained with words, for it is written and even prophesied in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, the following. It says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who will privately, they shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Yeah, I'm repeating this. There's a reason for it. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, which means it's still coming. It's like it's on a greased pole now. And their damnation slumbereth not, because Christian prophecy can't be changed. It's going to happen. And then finally it says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. In other words, soon every false prophet, preacher, pastor, and priest is finally going to come to realize that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. It is the prayer of the remnant people of God that they realize this before probation ends and the plagues begin. Hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.